everyone. Welcome back to the Wild Thoughts podcast. Today we have one of our favorite episodes. Yes. We're going to be reading your anonymous submissions. So some of you have sent in questions, other scenarios, and we're just going to react and give some advice on it. Start with the high of the week. Afi, do you want to go first?
Sure. Okay. So I was trying to think of something that's not necessarily like an event that happened, but more just like something I realized. So I feel like I've realized what time of the day I work better. So I was like, okay, in the mornings, my brain is more active. So that's when I should be like doing my main tasks that require like any work or effort. Because if I wait till the evening, I'm tired and it takes more energy to just like begin. So it feels like a whole like fight between myself. I'm appreciative, and like I feel like that's one good thing that happened is like I was like, okay, Saturday mornings I'm like awake, I have time, I'm not tired because I'm not working. Okay, that's when I do all my stuff, and I did that this week and I feel like it worked. So I'm like, that's like that. One good thing that happened that I realized.
Good. Okay. For me, I feel like I kind of had like a bad week this week. Sorry. It was just like busy, you know what I mean? And like I was falling asleep at like 8 p.m every night. I was feel dead. You. Yeah, but Friday, I finished work early because I went to get my nails done. Ooh, I had an appointment out of office. But yeah, I got some spring nails.
So cute.
Because I'm sick of winter, so I want spring. And I made a green for St. Patty's. Oh, you already know. So yeah, I think that it was very relaxing. Yeah. And then I did it on Friday. And then Friday night, I didn't have any plans. So I was just like watching movies. It was like, it was a good night.
I did that too. I'm continuing Wintry Hill. And yeah. Actually, I love the season after they graduate. I'm like so into it. I don't know why.
So
I feel like because I forget, because that's the seasons I don't know as well. So yeah. I don't know why, but like the storylines like had me.
So there was a part, I think season 6, I was like bored.
I'm going to have to see like how it progresses. Yeah.
I just freaking hate Julian. Like, I don't know. I don't understand why he's still here.
I think it's like his mannerism.
Yeah, but also like I got through the whole Alex situation and we're still kind of in it.
Who's Alex? The singer?
The model. The actress.
Right. Who's like...
Was she overdosed? No, she tried to kill herself.
Yeah. Oh, but like it gets... I feel like continue.
Oh, but I'm so annoyed. Like every time he comes on screen, I want to fast forward. Like I'm so over it.
I mean, you can. But you won't know the story. I won't know line,
yeah. Anyways, I'm almost done, to be honest, because I think I have like a season and a half. I think I'm just at a point where I just want to finish it because I've gotten so far.
Exactly.
But next time I rewatch it, I'm not watching the later seasons.
Like, hey, never say never.
No, it's so annoying. I can't. They're so boring to me.
Yeah, surprisingly, I've been liking it, even though I already know like the beginning, like especially when like Nathan is going through his whole, like I hate that part because it's so annoying and I just want him to, you know, when he's at the beginning. Like because of his accident.
Yeah.
Just, like that part was so annoying, but I feel like this time when I rewatch, I was like, oh, yeah. I'm actually like intrigued.
Yeah.
So Jamie's also, so cute.
Oh, I know. He's so cute. Also, side note. So yesterday I was watching TikTok. Sorry, a little tangent. I was watching TikToks and my whole For You page, like Afi, when I say 20 consecutive videos just of the Hailey and Selena drama.
Bitch. It's my whole TikTok.
So I don't much get, is coming out.
It's brainwashing
it's
like, me.
No, like, but literally I'm like, it's not a coincidence.
Bruh, I don't get like... TikTok algorithm, what are you trying to do?
Yeah,
everyone's algorithms are like this. Like, clearly you're doing something.
And like we've said it before, we spoken about it on the podcast where we're like, Justin doesn't like Hailey. Like the way he acts towards her, it's kind of bad.
I don't want to put Hailey in a box because I don't know her, and I feel like okay, I'm judging her, but I'm sorry.
I mean, but shit is coming out. Like I'm like,
yo, and there was a show, like a talk show that talked about it, like The View. Yeah. Or something. Like, imagine the view bringing up.
So, did you see, though, that the time that Justin and Hailey got married, apparently Justin was going to be deported back to Canada because he couldn't get a visa?
Oh, yeah, people are saying, like, but wait, really?
I don't
like,
know if Justin that's true.
Bieber, he's been, like,
but hold on. Make any sense. You have to stay married for 5 years in order to, like, get your green card, and it's 5 years this year.
Honestly, September, we'll see. I don't think the marriage is going to last.
No, especially with all this shit that's going on.
Wait, Kathy, I also heard.
I'm sorry. Sorry to anyone who doesn't like this. We'll have like a time stamp if you want to skip it.
It's like blame TikTok because they've like put these in my thoughts. So apparently there's also a thing about, you know, like how they have like a pastor that he's really close with, like because they got married young. When you think of it, like, why did they get married? It's kind of, it's not weird. Well,
everyone's saying it's an arranged marriage from her dad.
Exactly. And like he even said in an interview, like Haley's parent, like he didn't say they're very religious, but she's like a Christian, like he was saying on the Ellen show or something. Other people are like, yeah, his dad, like her dad is very religious, so is she. So I'm like, okay, maybe that's why they also like got married quick, because it's like a religious, like not a religious thing, but like, okay, two Christians, I don't know, like,
no, low-key, like, the more I think about it, I'm like, it was an arranged marriage.
Yes, like, it's kind of weird. And then there's this church apparently called like Hillsong Church, where it's like kind of culty. Ew. And they're like, one, the pastor who I think got them married is like part of, like, it's some weird thing that I didn't this even just know
spirals out of control.
I know. And then like Chris Pratt has something to do with, apparently he was supposed Chris to marry
Pratt?
Haley.
Something happened with Chris Pratt, wasn't he like, he got canceled for something? I think it's his, oh, I think he was a Trump supporter because it was really religious. His religion. Okay, I didn't.
I'm like, where's what Chris Pratt? What? Like, I'm so confused.
Yeah,
apparently he's supposed to get married to Haley. Like, I don't know where these.
She's so young.
I can't say these facts are accurate, but
she's only 26. I thought she was older.
He got married very young.
But like, they're 3 years apart. So I thought that she was the same age as them. But then I've been seeing all the. You've seen all the pictures of her. She's literally like 10 years old and she's like taking pictures with Justin and Selena. Yeah.
And there's even someone, sis, this is so embarrassing for you, girl. Like, there's literally so many. I mean, look, if someone dug up my past, I'm sure. Because she's in the spotlight. So she, like, when you stalk someone, when you're kind of famous, it's exactly. Like people are gonna like see
it. But like, two things that got me. First, the G tattoo that she got in the exact same location.
Oh my god, Selena. Wait, what is that again?
So someone asked her about it and she couldn't explain why she was getting it.
Yeah, Selena has it too.
Yeah, right? For her sister.
Oh.
But Haley got it and she was getting it at the same time as Kendall was getting something else. And like, they were asking, like, oh, why a G? She couldn't explain it.
That's so stupid.
It's like, so weird. But it's the exact same place. That's what's weird. And then, did you see the stuff about Justin's tattoo of Selena?
Yeah,
where he kept showing it and he was like purposely moving his sleeve.
But like, okay, that it could be like.
So the whole time that, because it was a carousel on TikTok with the pictures, the whole time I was like, okay, you're. But you're then the last picture, he literally was lifting his sleeve.
Yeah, but I feel like his finger was like accidentally.
No, I'm like, come on.
Yeah, maybe.
So many coincidences.
And have you seen the videos of people like making a trend out of it? Where, because you know how they show like what she copied from Selena and they'll be like, oh my god, and a month later Haley celebrated her birthday too, like, you know, like being sarcastic. So it's kind of funny.
Oh my god.
But it's yo, a lot of embarrassing things. And oh, you know what satisfies me is her follower count going down. And
oh my god, yeah
and even Kylie, she lost like a bunch, like,
yeah, because she was also her and Kendall's a mean girl.
They're like,
but I feel like Kendall especially, I feel like she really Kylie likes too. To like stir
she's
the pot
a mean girl vibe.
I think Kylie's just more direct about it, though. Kendall is like, tries to be nice, but she's not.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyways, we stand Gigi and Bella Hadid.
Yeah, they're the only ones. Yeah, but did you see that? You know, Gigi came out with her new Netflix show, and
yeah, I've been watching it.
Haley's one of like the guests on an episode, and I'm like, girl. I'm sorry, but Haley gives me very plain, very salt and pepper, like
100%. No, literally, like, what are you giving us? Nothing. She's not even modeling anymore. She's not modeling anymore. Like, what is she doing? She's just Justin That's Bieber's wife.
I was literally thinking, I'm like, your whole career is just being.
Did you see?
Wife.
Okay, this is the last thing. Did you see? She's trying to do a cooking show.
Oh, like that. I didn't. Is that like a YouTube thing? Like, I'm confused.
I don't know, but she's trying to do a cooking show, but she's saying the same phrases as Selena too. She was going like okie dokie, and that's something.
Do you
like,
think people are going too far though with like thinking that she's copying everything? Like, she can't actually be
the
doing
thing
that.
Is like, you know, people are gonna dissect it, and like, if there's like 10 things already that
like
are the
some
same
for sure. Yeah
it's kind of weird, like, why are you starting a cooking show? Where did this come from?
No, that's weird. I wouldn't, even if I thought of doing it, and but like, I would be like, oh, wait, my, like, husband's ex-girlfriend has one, so I'm not going to do it because I don't want people, like, thinking
things. Yeah, but I mean, you also can't think of it that way because it's like, well, if I'm passionate about it. But she wasn't passionate. Where's the passion? We didn't see
like,
this beforehand.
I thought you were doing, like, makeup.
And yeah, anyways.
Okay. Pia Mia and, like, Jordan Woods. So, you know Pia Mia? She used to be friends with Kylie Jenner.
Okay, I didn't know that.
She's like, they were friends, and now I guess like they're not really friends anymore, and she's literally just doing makeup videos.
I saw of her, that
like using the lip liner Rare Beauty, and then like putting Selena Gomez and like Taylor Swift like
that's they were playing Selena's music, I think, and like doing her makeup.
And then there's also Jordan Woods, who posted like I think on her story, and she was like, my favorite lip liner, and it's like Rare Beauty.
I love this shit. Okay, anyways, did you see what I posted yesterday? Spotify. It was recommending me all of Selena's, like, damn.
Yo, the marketing?
Yeah, seriously. They know.
Selena's a whole brand. They know. Like,
oh my gosh. Okay, now that we spent 10 minutes talking about this.
I can go on. There's like other stuff.
Oh, so sorry, guys.
It's a loophole. Okay. Okay, so let's get into the first submission. So it says, hey ladies, I think I have dating burnout. I was on a roll for a while going on Hinge dates and meeting new people, which was fun for the beginning, but then it got exhausting. So I've made the executive decision to delete my account. I think that was the right choice for me since I feel like dating was taking up too much headspace at the time. My question for you though is, how do I know when I'm ready to start dating again? How do I approach it without getting burnt out again?
Whoa.
Good question.
Okay, well, first of all, good for you for deleting your account, because I think you needed the break if you're especially saying you're on a dating burnout. I think it's hard for us to tell you when you're ready to start dating.
Yes.
I think it's kind of just something like, I don't think you're ever ready to date. It's kind of just you're putting yourself out there and you're like, okay, whatever happens, happens. You kind of have
the right time.
Yeah. It's kind of like a mindset switch where you're just going to be like, I'm just going to see what happens. I'll put myself out there. You don't have to have like high expectations for it. Just see it in a way that you're just meeting new people and you might make some friends along the way, or you might get some stories out of it, like stuff like that. Because I don't think there's necessarily a time that you're ready.
Yeah, I agree. I think now like the whole thing is that you're saying that you went on a lot of dates, and which led to you feeling overwhelmed and a burnout. So I think like Kathy said, I think because that happened and that like, you know, you were overwhelmed, you do need to take a break for the moment. But like Kathy said, going back into it, it's like really for you to know. But I think what we can help you with is maybe like pacing yourself, like just when you do decide to re-enter the dating world, is maybe like evaluating how you were doing it previously and why you felt overwhelmed and changing it. Like, I think it's good to like date around and see different people, but obviously the more people you see, the more draining it becomes. So maybe like reduce the number, like give yourself like, okay, like 3 people I'm focusing, let's say, on throughout whatever period of time, instead of like, okay, I'm just gonna go on as many, like, you know, because that might become overwhelming. I think what happened here is that it became, like you said, it took over your headspace. Like, it was kind of like the only activity that was like focused in your mind.
If you kind of were forcing yourself to do it, then that's kind of a sign to stop, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I think just like doing less, like just focusing on like less people and taking your time, not making it your main activity either. Like, just also having a balance between like other things you're doing, you're like taking care of yourself, because I mean, dating is fun, but like not all the time when you have to just like meet people for the first time again and again and like hang out with them. Especially with strangers that you don't really know. So definitely pace yourself next time and take a good break to like recenter yourself on your hobbies and things that you missed out on, but like maybe did less of while you were dating.
Yeah. And then for your other question, how do I approach it without getting burnt out again? Mm-hmm. I think since it seems like you've been on a lot of dates, if you got burnt out by it, or maybe you just like don't like socializing and you're burnt out, but I feel like you should reflect on your past dates and kind of see like, okay, where did it kind of go wrong? Like, was it something about them that I disliked, or like maybe I like this quality in them, but then this happens, stuff like that, and kind of make like, this is gonna sound so bad, but not like a checklist in your mind, but like make mental notes that next time you're gonna be more selective, so you won't go on as many dates, because you'll know exactly what you want and you'll kind of have that preliminary like conversation to kind of see if you're actually willing to go on the date, mm-hmm. and see if it's worth your time.
Yeah.
And then kind of what Afi was saying before, like limit yourself to either 3 people, or even you can limit your dates per month and kind of see like maybe it was exhausting just for you to like get ready and go out. Like,
yes,
that,
exactly.
That takes a lot out of someone. So maybe limit yourself to like 2 to 4 dates a month and that's it. And you'll kind of spend the other time like talking on the phone or like not actually going out, but still getting to know them type of thing.
Yeah, I agree.
But again, we don't, I think you just have to feel it out and see, like work on yourself, kind of like re-energize yourself. Again, like Afi was saying, work on your hobbies. And then at a certain point, you'll kind of feel ready to just start going.
Yeah, exactly. It's like when you delete all the dating apps and then you redownload then you're like, that again.
I'm a little bored.
Yeah, that's so funny. I also think, like, just on a last note, that when you're dating people, like, it's very vulnerable. And I think, like, even the your own feelings and like trying to see if someone is into you, if you're into them, like that in itself is overwhelming.
Yeah,
let alone for one person, but like multiple, you know. And then you're like comparing the different people, like I have to choose one, you know what I mean? So sometimes it's like, well, you don't have to choose one, but you know what I mean, like depending on what your end goal is. So yeah, so it's normal that I feel burnout because it's like all those feelings and questions come up. So
yeah. All right, let's get into the next story. This is a bit of a long one. Hey, I need a little advice. I'm not sure how to think of a current situation my boyfriend is in with one of his friends. To give some context, my boyfriend was in love with his friend in high school, but it was unreciprocated. She hasn't been the greatest of friend to him over the years since, in brackets, would ghost him with no context for many months, then occasionally call in at very random times, sometimes in the middle of night, only to disappear again. It seemed like a very one-sided friendship with him, always chasing her. Then this year, for the first time ever, she's the one constantly messaging him now that he's had a falling out with her friends and other life events. He is now constantly checking in on her, having long phone calls, and even staying over at her place very late into the morning. Sorry. This has been bothering me, and I don't know how to bring it up without sounding like a jealous girlfriend. I'm going to say it right now, bitch. If my boyfriend was staying at another girl's house late into the night, I'm sorry. I wouldn't be with him. That's going to sound very harsh. Yeah.
No. I know what you mean.
I don't think you're a jealous girlfriend. I think this is very serious, especially since he had feelings for her in the past. Yeah. And you should have the conversation to kind of set that boundary and be like, listen, you can't be doing this. Like, I know maybe he still cares for her. Maybe he doesn't love her. Like, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Right. Like, he probably still cares about her. It's weird that she is reaching out all of a sudden, this other girl. Like, what's going on here? But I think you should have that conversation to be like, okay, I know you care about her. You can hang out with her. There's got to be a boundary. You can't be staying over at her house until like 2 a.m. in the morning.
Exactly.
You can go out in public places. Don't be at her house alone together. Like, bitch. Yeah. Oh my God.
No, I was going to say, like, I feel like this person's feelings are 100% valid and they're being like too nice about it, I think.
Very too nice. Yeah. Oh my God, I'd be yelling.
Yo, sorry, like.
But like, I'm sorry, that last line where he was staying over at her house.
Yeah, I know.
Oh shit.
I think that, like Kathy said, there needs to be boundaries set in place. And I'm not saying the other person's intentions are bad, like your boyfriend's. I think maybe they're just like a caring person and like, okay, yeah, they had feelings for them. But like, to me, it seems like that person is taking, like, the girl is taking advantage of 100%. Their niceness and, like, knowing that this person, like, had a crush on me because she started reaching out again when she had a falling out with her friends and other life events. So, okay, maybe she's coming to the realization that, okay, this person is there for me. But also, I feel like, I feel like they're only reaching out when they're, like, going through stuff or problems. That's not, like, an actual friendship. And, okay, maybe you're helping them in the moment and you just want to help them get better, but you're not like looking for something. But like at the end of the day, like, yo, there's limited time. It's exhausting to be like always giving someone advice on their problems, getting their problems. And you have a relationship with, you know, like somebody else that you need to nurture and take care of, not like this other person. So I feel like it is disrespectful to the significant other to do that to them. And yeah,
I don't know how this person doesn't realize what he's doing. You know what I mean?
Like
men.
Yeah, I know.
How do you not like look at this and like red flag? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it depends person to person. Like some people are just like really giving and just want to like give all their time, their advice, and are too nice and want to be there for everybody, even if they, like, sometimes you realize that, okay, someone wasn't right to me, but you still give and give. Like, I don't know. I think
that it's hard to, I 100% understand, yeah. But you were in love with this person, and exactly. Now you have a whole ass girlfriend.
That's the thing. It's like, it's not just a friend that you, like, casually, like, you were into them.
Yeah. So, oh my god, this is so frustrating. Yeah, I'm so sorry for you for going through this. Yeah, maybe approach the conversation in a way that's more like helping him realize that she's not actually a good friend, because yeah. You did say like she would ghost him, exactly. She would kind of like leave him hanging all the time, yeah. And now like she's only crawling back because she has no one else,
yeah, exactly.
And kind of depending on him because she knows that he'll be there,
yeah.
So kind of maybe phrase it that way and then kind of slip in the like boundaries situation, yeah. Because like you can't be doing this.
Yeah, I think like for sure I would directly be like, yo, I'm your girlfriend.
Yeah, but I get the vibe that she's not a direct person.
Yeah, I get it. I think, yeah, just nicely set a boundary. Be like, you know, I kind of feel a bit uncomfortable about yeah. this, like, you know, it's been piling up, and like I was not lenient about it, but like okay with it because I know like you care for this person and they're going through something, so you want to help them out, but now it's kind of like pushing it, and you know, you're not really taking care of yourself if you're spending like all this time and your girlfriend. So yeah, I think like Kathy said, maybe like ease into it, but clearly state that it's kind of bothering you. Like, I feel like yeah. you need to say that, because if you don't mention it's bothering you and affecting you and this is how you view it, then they're going to be like, oh, but
yeah, they might not take it seriously.
Yeah, okay. Not doing any harm to somebody else. So I'll just, like, continue.
That is tricky.
Yeah.
I would love an update next time we do this anonymous thing.
Okay, on to the next. So this one says, hey girls, I need some career advice. I graduated last year and haven't been able to find a full-time job in my field so far. I've been applying to any positions that are related to my industry, but haven't gotten many interviews. Do you have any CV/cover letter tips or tips on how to nail an interview? Anything would help. Thanks.
So first to this person, I just want to say it's not you.
Yeah.
Like the reason you're not getting a job is not because you're not qualified or stuff like that. It's could be like maybe your personality doesn't fit the environment that they're in, or maybe it's just like the not right place for you, and maybe it is not the right time at that moment for yeah. you to be in that position. But in terms of CV and cover letter tips, I feel like we had a whole episode on this, right?
We did. Yeah.
So I think what you should do is try to like general things, like use action terms and try to keep it as concise as possible, yeah. So that someone can look at your CV like right away and just like know everything about you basically.
Exactly.
Because it has to just tell your story as soon as they see it. And if there's too much writing, your skills aren't clearly laid out, exactly. People are just going to ignore it and like move on to the next.
Yeah. Agree with Kathy. I know there's a lot of resources online, but sometimes it gets overwhelming. I know there are some people that like, you can pay them like a small amount and they look over your CV and give you tips. For me, I use my counselor at school that helped me with my CV. That really helped me, because for CVs, it's like sometimes I feel like you don't know how to format it, what to put.
100%.
Yeah, and it's hard. I will say, like, because you're like newly, I guess, kind of out of school, you graduated last year, like don't make it too long either. Like a page or so, because like they skimmed through it very quickly and they look for keywords, so just make sure you're like you have those keywords like in your skills. You can have like soft skills and hard skills if you want, and just relate it to the position as much as possible. Personally, I don't really write cover letters anymore, but it depends.
There's some positions that require it.
Exactly.
Cover letter, this too, you kind of have to like play around with the wording and make it very specific to the job you're applying to, and just again, make sure your personality shows through it, because they don't want to read another cover letter that's just rephrasing their CV.
Exactly. Yeah. You know? And one of my friends gave me this tip, which I don't know if it was only for that company, but I thought it was interesting. They had told me to make a paragraph like why this company, and then like explain, which I think can catch people's attention. So
yeah,
if you want to try that, that could be a cool method, because it maybe will like make you stick out of other people. And also, like, you have to know that recruitment in all companies are so different. Like, everyone has, like, a different procedure. I feel like, in a way, recruitment is faulty because it's biased, because it's based off of your, like, each person's personal way they view a CV. Like, I might be more like empathetic and be like, okay, no, let's pass it. So it's like really tricky. So like Kathy said, it's not your fault at all. Just keep trying, because I know I applied to so many jobs and I only like heard back for like a few, like more than 40, and I maybe got like a couple responses. Same. Back. Me too. So yeah, and the also the market I feel like is not the best right now, so just take your time. I know it feels like very overwhelming, and also take breaks, like pace yourself, but just do your best, like improve your CV, make sure that like try to make it correspond to the position. And one tip I will give you is reach out to the recruiters if you really want something. If you're not like then maybe don't, but if you really want a position, I think reaching out to a recruiter shows a lot of your motivation and makes you stand out. And honestly, I don't think they see it as annoying, because they need to fill the position. It's exactly. Really first come, first serve. So as soon as you want something, message, like literally just search on LinkedIn, like the company, recruiter, and the location that you're in, and they will either redirect you towards the right person, or they're gonna like be the person you're gonna be talking to. So
yeah,
do that.
Yeah. And in terms of interview tips, first, like, just realize that yes, you're trying to sell yourself to the company, but you also have to get the vibe from the company to know if that's really what you want to be working for, right?
Exactly.
So in the interview, obviously it's very nerve-wracking, because you kind of have to answer questions on the spot. They might ask you something that you weren't prepared for.
Yeah.
And just know that in those situations, just take a deep breath. Like, you don't have to answer the question right away. Take a breath and you can think about your answer. Like, they're not like waiting on the other side, like annoyed. And if they are, like, you don't want to be working for them anyways. Exactly. Right. So just kind of absorb the question and just answer honestly and answer what's true to yourself. Because I have interviewed people, and I know you have too, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes you can see when they're so nervous that they like, you know, the response is not going to be like
exactly
good, because they're kind of like rushing out an answer just to get the interview done, and it's kind of like you didn't really answer the question, but
exactly
sick.
Yeah,
so just so just take a deep breath and ensure that you're answering truthfully and honestly. And listen, like, these are people that are interviewing you, like they do have some empathy, and they understand that it's very nerve-wracking, and they're kind of like on the spot too, because they have to show you that we're the best company that you should be working for, right?
For sure.
So it's a two-way street, and just kind of just stay calm. And like we've said in the other episode that we were talking about career stuff, but like you can prep some answers just so you have like a checklist of like things you want to like get out there and like make known.
Yeah, I agree. I think for interviews, like, definitely do your research, because what you'll realize is, like, at least for entry level position, I feel like a lot of people don't do their research, which is like basic, like minimum.
Yeah, because I have this one girl.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people, especially like entry, like obviously as you when you go through like experienced people, they know what they're talking about. And I feel like at the beginning of your career, it's so important to kind of know about the company. You don't have to know everything, but if you remember something, just slide it into your answer. They're gonna be so impressed, because they want someone that like looked at the website at least and like did some minimum, you know.
Can I just say something?
Yeah.
So this one girl that I interviewed, this poor girl, I felt so bad because I knew she was super nervous.
Yeah.
But she's applying to an e-commerce position.
Yeah.
And I asked her, like, what would you change about something on the website, or what did you love about our website, blah, blah, blah. And she literally told us she didn't go on the website. And I'm like,
don't ever do that. That's so bad.
I'm like,
make something up.
Like, I'm like, you're interviewing for an e-commerce position and you didn't even see our website?
Interviewing for the company. Like, you should have, like, clicked the website, just like, scroll through. No, that's bad.
It
like,
was bad.
Guys, once you get that interview, make the best out of it. Especially the first call. Because the first call is not even with, like, a hiring manager. It's just with a recruiter. But it's just to see if you, like, fit the criteria.
Yeah.
So you have to do, like, the bare minimum, you know? But, yeah, research and use that to your advantage, because a lot of people don't. And like Kathy said, I usually what I do is like make a one pager and I think of questions they would ask me. And to be honest, most of the times, especially the first interview, it's a lot of like similar questions and like to the job, like look at the job description, like what skills are they asking for, rewrite that into questions, like, you know, you have your answers, they're all there.
Exactly. Like the first interview is always like just to see if you actually have like the criteria that they need, so you have the certain skills or like how you react in certain situations. Like that's usually the vibe. And then if you get another interview, it's usually the personality fit, so that's where you kind of can shine. And kind of I feel like you need to like humble brag about yourself in those interviews, just to kind of sell yourself.
Exactly.
So you can prep it like both ways, have like one sheet to just say like, okay, these are like the skills that I have. This is how I reacted in a certain, like when you had like a conflict with someone, yes, like exactly. Those are like easy answers. And then just have your CV next to you too, so that you can kind of remember, because I feel like a lot of the times we write our CV and no, we're just like,
yeah,
that's it, you know,
you forget.
So,
yeah
have it next to you so you can also relate it to your CV, so they can also remember like exactly. Who you are.
Yeah, I agree, because sometimes I would like disregard my CV and there's like some things I put in there, some things I didn't mention. So you want to know your CV, because a lot of times that's how they ask your questions. They look at your CV and they come up like, that's literally what a recruiter does. They look at all your experience, your skills, and whatever you said. So yeah, I think we put out like a lot of like stuff. So just take a combination, like Kathy said, and
don't give up.
Don't give up.
Because it's going to happen when it needs to happen.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Just use your personality, your skills, and research to your advantage.
And you can listen to our old podcast episode, because we go into more details.
Exactly.
I don't know what episode it is, but yeah. All right. So next one. I've been with my partner for 8 years so far, and I feel like I'm ready to be a wife. All in caps. Problem is, my boyfriend gets weird anytime I mention anything about marriage. We used to talk about the topic a lot during the first few years of our relationship, but now I don't know if we got too comfortable and just stopped discussing it, but I feel like he tries to change the subject or pretend like he's busy doing something every time I mention someone we know who got engaged. A pretty wedding dress I've seen online, etc. I know I need to talk to him about it, but not sure how to approach the topic. Any tips?
This one's scary. No, it's not scary, but like, I'm not a marriage expert or a relationship expert at all. But
well, I mean, all this advice, like,
yeah, for sure. That is kind of sketch.
So I'm taking it two ways. I'm like, either he's about to propose and he doesn't want to discuss it because he's nervous.
I didn't think of that.
Or
just commitment phobia.
Yeah, like, or he doesn't want to commit.
But he can't be that commitment phobia. You're with someone for 8 years.
Come I know, on. But some people don't like the idea of marriage because it really like ties someone down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
My first question is, have you spoken about the idea of getting married prior? Like, has this been a conversation? Do you know what this other person wants?
I think that, they said at the beginning of the relationship, they discussed it a lot, but it kind of like fizzled
out. Oh, right. Okay.
Low-key, the vibe I'm getting from that, like if you've already discussed it, I feel like it's going to happen, right?
Well,
because he's changing the subject, because I feel like he's probably nervous. I don't know.
But then he should just give like a straight up. Well, the person should just give a straight up answer. Yeah, but we know how men are. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think like have, because now it seems like the topics come up casually and you're like, oh, this person got engaged. Oh, this wedding dress is pretty. Like you said, men are oblivious. So have more of a direct conversation, because maybe they're not reading between the lines. I would just be like, hey, like we've discussed this a lot at the beginning of the relationship, and I just wanted to see how you're feeling, because I feel like maybe you're a bit more distant when I talk about these topics, and you know that this is something that I would want
and
in
I'm
the
ready
near
for.
Future. And I'm ready for. Like, I think I know it's hard, but it's about like that confrontational conversation, but super nice and like respectful. Yeah. And given the fact that, like, you know each other super well, it shouldn't be too scary, and you know how the person is or is going to react, and at least you'll know, like, hopefully the honest answer.
Yeah, and listen, if you've been with someone for 8 years, I feel like even if the conversation comes and they're like, I don't want to get married, like, that's not something I want to do.
Yeah.
I feel like you can try to work together through it, because you've known each other for 8 years. Like, you know each other, and, like, it like a wedding, this is very tricky, because I know some people are like hardcore about weddings, and like if you really want a wedding, you really want a wedding.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you don't, right?
Right.
But sometimes a wedding can ruin things. So little True. Controversy there, because sometimes if you're with someone for so long and it's going so well and then you get married, all of a sudden like it's too much for people.
Yeah.
So I don't think if you have that conversation and it doesn't go the way you want it to, I don't think that's the end of it. Mm-hmm. I think you can kind of work through it and maybe like come up with a compromise, or again, we're not freaking relationship experts. Yeah. I don't know how that's going to work, but I think you just have to be open and honest with each other. But I low-key think he's going to propose. Yeah. That's the vibe I'm getting.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, what if you have this conversation, you really want to get married by your partner, but like this, I mean, usually it wouldn't happen, because if you start dating someone, they're like, you want to get married, and they don't. Yeah, but you, like, at the beginning.
You're saying usually, but there are some people that all of a sudden they're like, this is too much. I don't want to get married.
Yeah, that's true. What I'm saying is that I was going to say, like, if you want to get married but your partner doesn't and you've been together for this long, what do you do after? Do you, like,
yeah, that's why, like, I'm saying hard, you have to leave
them, but then it's also, you don't want to settle. But
exactly,
marriage is not the, like, the end goal is not to, like, have this certificate that, like, binds us because you're already, like, together. But I get for some people it's a different significance.
Exactly, like, yeah. That's what I'm saying, like, that's why it's a tricky conversation, but you need to be open with one another and just try to, like, work through it in a certain way.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Yeah, that's all
tricky. Oh, be patient. Yeah. And like Avi said, try to have that conversation directly, because I think you'll also know just from the vibe, like, even if they don't want to talk about it, you'll kind of see the mannerisms and be like, are they hiding something?
Yeah.
Or are they literally shutting this down and getting angry about
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Don't impulsively react if you hear something you don't like. Just try to be like, understand their point of view. Obviously, it depends what they're responding. Yeah. I think you, at this moment, you kind of have to have that, like, conversation, bring it up slowly, and yeah, just say how it's, like, impacting you or how you perceive it. I don't think you need to, like, pinpoint or make someone, like, I feel like when you have these conversations, the way to make it, like, healthy is just to talk about, like, how you've been feeling and not put anything into someone else's mouth or, like, assume something about exactly. someone else, if that makes yeah. sense. Yeah,
that's why I try to have the conversation and, like, be respectful of one another and just, like, let them talk, and hopefully they'll let you talk and kind of just, like, not end up in a screaming match, basically.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, just be honest with your feelings. Okay, last one. So this one says, hey ladies, I need advice on how to get better grades at school. I'm in a field that I love, but every test or assignment that I hand in, I never get amazing grades. I know grades don't mean much when I'll be trying to get a job after graduation, but no matter how hard I study or work, it seems like it doesn't pay off. I'm not sure what else to do. Do you have any advice? You start, because I'm still thinking.
So some people just don't test well. I am one of those people sometimes. Like, I feel like I overwhelm myself, and then because I'm too nervous about the actual test, yeah. I, like, bomb the test sometimes. So it's completely normal. I don't know if your situation is like every test and assignment, like literally every single one, you're getting yeah. like failing grades or almost failing grades. Yeah. If that's the case, I feel like it's not that you're dumb or stupid.
Yeah.
It might be the way that you're studying and the method that you're, like, doing your assignments and, like, doing research and stuff like that. So I feel like the first thing that I would do is go to a prof mm-hmm. and kind of see, like, have an open discussion with them and kind of be like, I don't know what's happening. Like, I'm putting in the work.
Yeah.
And I'm not seeing the grades reflect that. Do you have any tips? Or, like, maybe, like, if there's a certain assignment or project that you're working on, maybe they can help you walk through it and, like, go that way. I know there was this one teacher that we had for a marketing class that she, like, after the first test, she made everyone go see their test to, like, see what they were doing wrong.
I don't remember.
So that was the first time I actually went to a prof to yeah. actually, like, look at my assignments, because usually I'd be like, okay, whatever, I'll just do better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And, like, it really helped me perform on the next test, because I also understood how she was marking and what she was looking for in particular. Yeah. So I think that would be a huge help for you.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And like Kathy said, it could be maybe your studying style, because everyone learns in different ways. The way to get it in your brain, you can't just like
don't just read it.
Yeah. Don't just read it or just like rewrite all your notes without realizing what you're writing. You need to do I think it's called active studying, where like either you're writing it and then you're like questioning yourself with it and repeating the answer, like repetition and active studying.
Yeah, answering it in your own words and not yes. just like spitballing like the memorized exactly. answer. Yeah.
Or take a concept and explain it to someone in your own exactly. words. Like, you kind of have to do those little things, even though they're not as fun as like writing cute notes. They're gonna pay off. And trust me, like, notes are fun, but don't like rewrite the whole textbook. That's not gonna be purposeful for you. And I feel like school gives you so much information. Read all this, but at the end of the day, guys, like, look at the key points, the exactly. summaries, the PowerPoints, like, those things. Because you only have a certain amount of time and you're dealing with, like, whatever, 3, 4, 2 other classes. It's going to save you so much time and, like, energy. Because whenever we start at the beginning writing notes, we're like, ah, yeah, this is fine. We have yeah. so much. But once you do that for, like, hours and hours, like, every day, it's going to be exhausting. Yeah, I think it's, like, managing what information. Like Kathy said, if you go review your test, you're going to know what concepts they're looking at, how they're grading. I think how they're grading is important.
It's huge, yeah.
Yeah, because everyone grades differently. But teachers are always going to, like, look at the main important concepts and also pay attention in class. There's always hints.
Yeah. It's,
there's always like little things they'll say sometimes, or
the repetition. Yeah, yes, exactly.
You'll be like, okay, that must be important, you know, when it's like a big chunk of something. So just use those little tactics. I know it's a lot, but I don't know, either like write down, be like, okay, this topic is important on your notebook, and then refer to those notes specifically, or like PowerPoint notes. And if in your PowerPoint it's not explaining something enough, then go in the textbook and read it and like add that. So I think it's about that and like that active studying, because I feel like me too, I didn't actively study. I would just like, ooh, okay, cute, like I'm doing something, but I don't actually want to do it. So I would just like write cute
and maybe
notes
like try to incorporate, there's like so many ways that to study and like so many methods, try to incorporate like one thing into what you're already doing and seeing if that helps. And like if not, you can try something else. Like
that's good.
I feel like it's more trial and error, because throughout my whole like university and even college experience, I have changed my method of studying drastically. Like it's not something that you're just gonna stick with and like that's it. Like you kind of have to adapt to like even the classes that you're taking. Like it really depends on that. And like I had a class, for example, it was an elective, but I found it super, super interesting.
Yeah.
But I wasn't doing well in it because my form of like writing assignments was different than people in fine arts.
Right.
So like they were correcting based on like that method of writing.
You took
so
a fine arts class?
Yeah, as an elective. Oh. So it was like a dance class, okay, but like cool. Analyzing different styles of dance. Oh. And more like,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So stuff like that. It was actually very cool. Like I was so interested in it, but I was not getting good grades because I write at that point in an accounting way. Right. So like, I didn't know how to properly look at symbolism and all that shit. And like,
I
thought I did so well. And then I get my grades and I'm like, what
is this? It's all like different. Yeah. Like understanding their perspective.
Exactly. So the way someone corrects your tests and assignments, everything is subjective unless it's a math class.
Exactly. Yeah.
So like if it's math, maybe
it's
you're not
like
good at math.
Wrong or right.
Maybe you're just not good in that subject. No. As much as you love it.
I feel like the stress, like you mentioned, is a big thing that can kind of eliminate, like affect your performance. Cause there is like a whole thing about like, oh, students getting stressed, and Concordia or other universities will literally send you tips because they know people get stressed. And then I know that I'm not good with time because I just take longer. So for me, that was always a thing. Either practice, like do practice tests if it's for math, do those for sure, cause those are helpful. But yeah, just take our little tips and try to figure it out. Like Kathy said, like trial and error.
Exactly. Yeah. And again, it's not the end of the world. Exactly like you said, once you graduate, no one's looking at your
grades. No one's looking. And
at C's get degrees, people. Yeah. Okay? That's all you need.
Exactly. I love that. And also, like Kathy said, like the educational institution is not made for everyone's brain. You just have to try to adapt to that method just to do well. But also, like, look, if you're not getting A pluses in everything, or like if you're getting
matter.
A few, look. If
and
you
it's pa- not a reflection a, on yourself.
Exactly. If you pass that class, and let's say it's a math class, you got like a D, but you don't need that. Who cares? Just
I like, was so happy when I passed my tax class with a D because I passed.
Exactly.
I was like, I'm done with this.
Yeah. Also, like, do not dwell on a grade. Because like we said, look, I wasn't the best student and I'm fine. Like,
no, literally. And like, there's so many times that you're going to feel so confident about yourself and like, it's not going to work out. And that's kind of what the real world is too. That's exactly what happens in the real world. There's going to be stuff like projects that you work on that you're so hyped about it. And like, maybe it's not working out the way you wanted to, or like experiments that you're trying and you're like, oh, I didn't get the answer that I wanted, like stuff like that. So this is kind of like a learning curve for you. Just a little like life lesson, and kind of just do what you can, do your best, and just
exactly use the little tips.
Yeah
Okay, awesome. Okay, that's our last question.
These were fun. These were kind of
these
intense.
Were nice. I know that we got like a good variety. Okay, so that's the end of the episode. So yeah, let us know if you like these anonymous submissions. I think Kathy and I
love
it.
Them. I wish the whole podcast would just be this. Yeah, swear to God.
One each episode and we go through like elaborative explanations. But yeah, so make sure to like, subscribe, share, leave any comments. You can follow us on our social media platforms at Wild Thoughts Pod. We're on Instagram, Facebook,
TikTok,
YouTube. And you can also follow us on our individual socials. They'll be linked down below. But yeah, that's the end of the episode. See you next time.
See ya. Bye.